Appreciate that very good song. Kind of, Ken didn't know why he changed that message, but he's going to hear about it in just a few moments. We're so thankful that Marty's here. He's thankful he's here. And he is definitely thankful for the church and their prayers and all we did. He's feeling much better. He's kind of sitting down instead of standing up. And he's been through it for several months, so praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles and turn over to, if you've got them, if you don't, that's fine.
Recording in progress.
2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to get to that text in a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at several verses. I would encourage you, you might want to just take some notes, jot down a few notes. You can't have the little book that y'all gave me, but you can take notes on what you got there on this particular sermon. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. Any veterans that we got here today? I think Brad is, maybe. Some people that have been in our church in the past were veterans, and we're thankful for those men and women who chose to protect our life and protect this country and the freedoms that we have. So this morning, we're going to look at this subject matter. Being thankful for the transformation. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9, the Bible says this. And in these verses, by the way, you're going to think, where in the world is the thankfulness coming from? But follow me all the way to the end. The Bible says this: the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Oftentimes when we read those verses, we look at the deceitfulness or the badness of the heart, and we don't look at the fact how gracious God is to us. And if you note, he says, I try the reins, and I give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So if you want to be wicked, you can be wicked and God will let you. And there are many people who wonder, why in the world is a good God allowing bad things to happen? Or why in the world does a good God have bad people in the world? Well, it's basically because he is gracious. If he was not gracious, he would be a wrathful God. If he was a wrathful God, then we all are in trouble. There wouldn't be a single person here who wouldn't be in trouble. And so God, he allows people to make the choices of their life, what they want to do, what kind of fruit they want to produce. As long as it doesn't interfere with His will and His purpose of what He's wanting to do. He allowed the people to kill His Son on the cross. And we wonder why. Well, He did it for us. He died for us. He gave His life for us. And the purposes that we have in our life, we have that freedom. We can choose with our mind what we decide that we want to do. And God is gracious enough to give it to us. It's not in our best interest to do evil. It's not in our best interest to do something selfish or prideful or greedy. And in some degree, we learn by our mistakes. How many of you made a mistake and you never learned from it? Huh? Dave's never learned from it. How many of you have hit your thumb and you said, I'm not going to do that again? Right? Or you drill a drill through your hand, you say, I'm not going to do that again. Or you go a little faster than what you should on the highway and the police stop you and you get a ticket and you realize what the fine is and you say, I'm not going to do that again. We all have learned from our mistakes, and God sometimes gives, and it's great that He is that gracious and merciful to allow us to learn by our mistakes. The Bible goes on to say in this, Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse number 12, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. And we do. We basically wake up every morning and we do whatever we want to do to some degree in the natural mind, in the natural man, the state of flesh that we are in. And then in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 7, the Bible says this, for he that thinketh, there's the thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat, drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So I asked you this morning, what in the world are you thinking? You've probably said that to your children when they made those mistakes. What in the world were you thinking at the time you did that? I asked you a little deeper question, and that is, where is your mind taking you now? And the idea of this message is being thankful for the transformation, as Ken sang about. There is something most powerful about the mind. And before we get into this message, I want us, don't worry about those pop, pop, pops. There's a little target range up there. Y'all know that. And they're, I guess maybe they're shooting for turkeys today. I'm not sure. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and the blessings you've given to us. God, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And God, I pray that our mind would be fixed upon you. Lord, we come to this season in our life where we're thankful. And it shouldn't be just the season because of Thanksgiving, but we should be thankful all the time because you died for us all. In all of our conditions, good, bad, or indifferent. And Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a man by the name of Jordan Wayne, and he wrote an article called The Power of the Mind, Understanding the Intricacies of Psychology. And in that article, he wrote these words. One of your most potent and helpful abilities as a human is your ability to use your mind. The power can either make you or mar you, create possibilities or make more room for challenges. It all depends on how you use it. The primary component of this force is your thoughts, which become more potent when you combine them with focus and compassion. And then he goes on to say this, nearly everything that happens in your world has its roots in the thoughts that occupy your mind. We all have different notions. We all have different thoughts. And during the day, we'll have these pop-up thoughts in our mind. And some of those pop-up thoughts are very innocent. Some of them are very wicked. But sometimes those thoughts just come and go. It just happens because your mind takes a picture of everything you see, everything you hear, everything you feel, everything you touch. And so those thoughts immediately pop up. Well, sometimes you immediately get rid of them out of your mind. But the key component is the dwelling on those thoughts. The more thoughts you dwell on will become who you are. And he goes on to say this, your life is what your thoughts say it is. And in reality, there was a group of scientists and medical professions. They got together over around 2016, even before that. And this one particular doctor, he wanted to figure out if he could change the mind of someone. And he started working on a brain transplant. But in the study, in the research, he realized that that was not a good thing to do. So he began to work on a head transplant, a complete head transport, taking a head off and putting it onto another person's body. You think, how bizarre. Well, he teamed up with a scientist in China, and they actually took the head of a monkey, chopped it off, and put it on the body of another monkey. And with great technology that we have and resources, it actually survived for a little while. But after 20 hours, it became a very controversial subject matter. And the sad thing is they killed the monkey afterwards. That didn't stop these scientists and medical professions to try to perform this. And this particular doctor, he asked for volunteers, people. One in a particular person, he volunteered. He was completely paralyzed, and his body was just, it was just like a little ball in itself. And he was wanting to be able to run and walk and do all kinds of things. And he thought to himself, well, if I would just volunteer to do this, it might help. It may not be me. It may be the end of my life if I volunteer. He didn't have any family. And necessarily, he couldn't get married, he didn't think, and he couldn't have any children. And so he said, why not donate myself to science? And so it was scheduled, December 2017. They were going to do the surgery. But in the process of time, between the delays and all the controversy that was coming up, the man met a woman. And the woman happens to be involved in the treatment of him and getting him ready, prepping him for this operation that was taking place, and they fell in love. They not only fell in love, they got married. They not only fell in love and got married, but they had a child. And he backed out because he had so much more to live for. And he said, I can't do this and leave my family behind because it was most important to him. There is an onset, and it still is happening today. People want to change the mind. The mentally ill will make them better. People with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, they want their mind to get better, and so there's all kinds of drugs to try to change their mind. The question is, can you change your mind? Your thoughts, what they are, what you're thinking right now, can you change your mind? So there was another man by the name of David Rabin. He was a doctor, and he made this statement concerning changing your mind. Rewiring your brain scientifically means to learn new things, or to, in many cases, eliminate old habits that don't serve us and replace them with new habits that do serve us. So there is a way, scientifically speaking, that you can change and alter your mind, and it's about what you focus on. Some people say, well, if you focus on positive things, you're going to get the end result of positivity. If you focus on negative things, you're going to have a life filled with negativity. And research has shown that if you're always focused on the negative, it affects your health. It affects all phases of your life. It stunts your growth, and you're not healthy, and all kinds of things. If you're always facing, thinking about things that are negative, bad, cloudy day, gloomy day, you're always down in the dumps. Sometimes we get in that way, and we have seasons, we have phases, even among ourselves. And we have to get us, some people say, get us out of the funk. And so you got to do something to change your environment. Some people change their addresses. Some people change their careers. Some people change the way they look. They go on diets. They try to get healthy. And that's the way they change in their mind. In May 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General, Vivek Murphy, and he's a doctor, he said this. This is one of the greatest diseases in America today and spread out all over the world. And if I were to ask you this question, how many of you have a lonely day? How many of you are by yourself at some point and you're lonely and your thoughts take over yourself? And then it's actually your thoughts that's actually controlling you. And whether it be positive, negative, or whether it be imaginative, dreaming about different things. And this is May of 2023, he said this. The latest Healthy Minds Monthly poll from American Psychiatric Association finds that in early 2024, this is just recent, 30% of adults say that they experience feelings of loneliness at least one time a week over the past year, while 10% say they are lonely every day. Younger people were more likely to experience these feelings, with 30% of Americans age 18 and 34. Think about it, 30% of all Americans, 18 to 34, saying they were lonely every day or several times a week. When you're single, it's nearly twice as likely than married couples to say that they have been lonely on a weekly basis over the past year, 39% to 22%. They did these statistics during COVID, and some people thought, well, maybe it was a COVID thing. Same statistics came up during COVID as even 2024. People are lonely. And I could ask you, do you have a day or a time in your life, you take last week, for instance, was there a time in that week that you were totally lonely and your mind took control over yourself and you felt depressed, you felt anxiety, you didn't know what to do with yourself, you were bored out of your mind, and your mind kind of disturbed you? So these statistics are pretty true. How powerful the mind is in what we think. There was, in that same poll, they were asked, what do you do to get your mind off of loneliness? What do you occupy your time with? 6% said they volunteer. 9% say they connect to a therapist or a counselor. 13% say they use drugs or alcohol. And notably, in this same article, it says this, that younger adults were more likely than older adults to say they used drugs or alcohol when feeling lonely. Females were 1.5% more likely than males to say that they reached out to a friend or a family member to help them during their loneliness. 26% said that they eat more than usual. 31% said they exercise, 31% said they connect to a friend, or a pet, sorry, and 38% said they reach out to a friend or a family member, 41% say they went on a walk, and 50% of those people that are lonely, how did they occupy their time? You're pretty smart, and you know what you do. They found a distraction through TV or podcast or social media. 50% of the people that are lonely, they reached out to social media and said, hey, this is how I'm connecting with people. There are many young people today that think that they have friends, and they just communicate through text messages or through posting things. That's not friendship, and it's not connecting, and then you're really not having a partnership or a friendship or a relationship. You're still lonely. You're reaching out for help, but there is nothing there. So I asked you, what happens to you when your mind is your only companion? Someone actually quoted, our only companion in times of loneliness is our mind. So what are your thoughts like? How are they? Are they positive? Are they negative? Well, I'm going to give you, first of all, what the natural mind is. This is what the Bible says. First of all, the natural mind takes sides. Actually, I need to read this text to you first before we do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1, the Bible says this: "Now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am in your presence with confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly or physical, but they're mighty through God, pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations." How many of you ever had an imaginary kid? Friend. Imaginary friend. Nobody? When you was growing up, you didn't have an imaginary friend? You didn't play school or football or baseball with an imaginary? Now, some of you are laughing, and you're shaking your head like this. And you're a jerk. You never played with Barbie dolls or army men, or and you had that little imagination. This is not bad imagination. I'm just imagination. You ever thought you were eating a chocolate cake when it was actually a mud cake, mud pie that you made? Ah, now we get it. That's an imagination. Notice, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ with the mind. I'll give you a little three quotes here. First of all is this: when your mind is ambiguous, ruler of the heart, you are uncertain of your destination. When you're confused, when you're divided, when you don't know which direction to go and you're trying to go left and then you think you can go right, when your ambiguousness of your life is the ruler of your heart, you don't know which direction you're going, so you're turning around in circles. Another one is this: your mind is a great friend if you control it, but your mind is your greatest enemy if it controls you. Another one is this, which I like this quote: your mind is like this water, my friend. When it is agitated, it becomes difficult to see, but when you allow it to settle down, the answers become clear. You ever stirred up water? Becomes cloudy. When your mind is stirred up, you can't make clear decisions. When there's a lot of things happening all at one time, it's best to just let the dust settle, so to speak, before you make the wrong decision. So what is our mind? How is it described in the Bible? First of all, the mind naturally takes sides. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 7 that we're at enmity with God, or we're the enemy of God. Because the carnal mind, natural mind, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. When we, in our natural state, are thinking about us, we are totally against God. In our natural state, when we say that we're not going to do something that God has told us to do, we are against God. And in our natural state, we are all sinners. The Bible tells us we're all sinners. We know the badness of sin. We know the badness of our own life. And when we're left alone, and the mind is controlling us, the mind is not going to necessarily naturally think of good things, righteous things, or spiritual things. You begin to think about bad things and evil things. And when we begin to think that way, we become opposite our enemies of God. There are many people today who are not in this church because they are enemies of God, and they don't think they can come to church. They don't think they're good enough to come to church. They don't have they've got the opposite mind of God. They don't want to have anything to do with God. They don't want to hear God. They don't want to listen to God. And so in their mind, they think they're okay. They think everything's happy, hunky-dory, lucky. But in their flesh, as they're living in their flesh, walking in the flesh, thinking in the flesh, the law of God does not mean anything to them, and so they become at odds with God. That's not a good place to be at odds with God, by the way. It is great that He's gracious and He allows us the fruit of our life, but to be constantly against God, and downplaying God, ignoring God, running from God, hating God, despising God, is not a good place to be. It's not a positive place to be, for sure. The second thing is the mind, the natural mind, is blinded by Satan. You have a choice to decide what you're going to think. It comes through your eye gate, your hearing, your touching and feeling, you think. And you have a choice to make, whether you're going to accept it or believe it or think that it'd be good for you or bad for you. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and Satan came to Eve, he said these words, "Eve, yea, has God said you're going to die if you eat of the tree?" And Eve said, "Yes, God said we were to die." And Satan says, "No, no, 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 that's not what he really meant." And so we become blinded by Satan. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world," that is Satan, "the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of his glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them." Satan doesn't want you to learn the Bible. Satan doesn't want you to know good things. And so when you're alone, all by yourself, and that's what happened to Eve in the garden, she was alone by herself, Satan came in and blinded her eyes, knowing the difference between right and wrong and death and life, and Satan said, "You're not going to die." And she took it and believed the lie that the devil said. And oftentimes, we in our darkness of our room, all alone, we'll believe all kinds of bad things about ourselves, about people, about the world that are not true. We'll say things that other people say about other people. And we'll take someone else's word about another person when it is actually not true. Because Satan becomes the controller of your mind and he doesn't want you to know the truth. He definitely doesn't want you to know the gospel that will enlighten you. And that's the reason so many people are not in churches, because they choose the darkness rather than the light. They don't want to know the gospel because it will mean that they will have to change. The third thing that happens with the mind is the natural mind has a split personality. Do you know people with split personalities? How many of you know people with split personalities? They're good one moment, bad the next moment. They're happy one day, sad the next day. They're your friend one day and they stab you in the back the next day. Come on, y'all in church. People have split personalities. The natural mind has a split personality. Doubtful and a double mind. The Bible says this in James chapter 1. "But let him ask, and let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, not a thing doubting when you're praying. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." When you're split and you're divided about who you're allegiance to, you have a wavering mind. You're not focused. You're not thinking about, let me get over here. You're not thinking about the same goal in mind. You try to go one way in the light, and then you decide you want to go in the darkness. And so all of that wavering and doubting and wandering makes you crazy. Makes people mad. They don't know what to do. They get beside themselves. Loved ones who have passed on that does not know the Lord and not focused on heaven, knowing where their loved one has gone makes one mad. Madness. That they're beside themselves. They can't hold it together. A person that does not have a firm faith and a belief in God, when trouble comes, when the storm comes, they go to pieces. Sometimes Christians go to pieces, but we go to pieces because our mind is not set on Christ. He's not our focus. But when we have concrete faith, we know what the end result's going to be, the outcome is. You like that boat that's on the water that has one oar. You can't row down the river because of one oar. When we are split and divided, when we listen to too many people and too many opinions, when we don't know what is up or what's down or what's left or what's right, what's green grass and what's brown grass, we don't know where we're going. We're unstable. And I'll be honest with you, if you ever come across a person that is unstable, they're like that, it's best to stay away from them, because you have no idea what the next move is going to be. You remember the man who was just crazy in the New Testament, and he was running up and down the graveyards, and he was taking rocks, and he was cutting himself and screaming and yelling, and he was a madman. And Jesus came to him and cast out the demon. The Bible says that his mind cleared up. Stable. The demons left him, went into the herd of swine down the river. Until you can solve the problem of your mind, you're going to be totally unstable in your entire life. So I offer you some hope. There's one more mind that we are to look at, and it's the defiled mind. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 5, the Bible says, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and consciousness is defiled. They profess they know God, but in their works they deny Him. Being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, a reprobate. They try to be good, but they can't, because the mind is so wicked and it's defiled them. And the only thing they know to do is bad things. All they know to do is to compensate for their sadness, is to get involved in something that is bad. In the 1970s, there was this set of commercials that came on TV. You'll remember it if you were alive then. Some of these young people were not alive. But there was a push by the education world department. And this was the caption: the mind is a terrible thing to waste. As it focused on poor and neglected children in America, that it was a bad thing to waste their mind. Then in the 1980s, amazingly, we got educated because we focused on education. In the 1980s, there was a great influx of drugs. And so the number one commercial during the 80s was this man that was standing in the kitchen, and you'll remember this if you were born in the 80s, and he held up an egg, and there was a frying pan on the oven, and he would say, "This is your brain, and this is drugs," pointing to the frying pan, and he'd break open the egg, and it'd go in the frying pan, and he'd said, "This is your brain on drugs." How many remember that? It was the craziest commercial I ever seen in my life. But anyway, it got the point across. I mean, we educated people, and then we became drug addicts all of a sudden in the world. So far this day and time that we're living in, there's not a lot of commercials on the mind, but this is what happens. And all the commercials and advertisements that happen, they know that your mind is defiled. They know that it's selfish. They know that you're greedy. They know that you're filled with pride. And so they try to attract you to come on their side and make that decision to buy their product, because they know your mind is defiled. And Satan knows that too. He is slick, he is smart, and he tries to get you to think to get away from God. Think that it's not important. Think that that stuff is old-fashioned. It's still the mind. And he wants you're mine. So what is your hope? What is my hope? There's three important minds we need to look at. First of all, there is not that. the spiritually minded. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, in that same chapter, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance. God wants and desires for you to change your mind. He wants you to have a spiritual mind. He's not trying to hold it back from you, for sure. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 6, the Bible says this, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many of you want to have peace in your life? How many of you want to have life rather than death? How many of you want to focus? How many would like to go camping and camp right in the middle of a graveyard in a cemetery? I don't know why they don't have RV hookups in a cemetery. Have you ever wondered that? I mean, there's plenty of room out there. There's plenty of space in the cemetery, but no RV hookups out there. There's no drive-in TV theaters out there. There's nobody playing ball. Nobody's, huh? People don't want to talk about death. But yet in their flesh, they're living death. Their mind is on negative stuff. Their mind is in the hole, in the cesspool. And so if you want to come on top of things, when you're lonely, there's no way you can avoid being lonely. You're going to be lonely. But what do we do with our mind? You think on spiritual things. You can't think about the cesspool of the world, the carnal things of life, the dirt stuff. It'll make you depressed. You can't listen to all that garbage that's on TV and different things. You don't have to go to a counselor. You have the Holy Spirit within you as a Christian. Think on heavenly things. Think on good things. Think on positive things. The book of Philippians says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And think on these things. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. The second one is a saturated mind. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ, that is a Christian, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Jesus even taught his disciples on the Mount of Olives not to think on earthly things, the things of this earth that will be temporary. Think on heavenly things that will last forever. Think good thoughts. Put your head in the clouds, not in the dirt, not in the cemetery, but in the resurrection. When you're alone, don't get caught up or trapped about thinking about, oh, they don't like me. They're talking about me. I can't do anything. Saturate your mind in the mind of Christ and think on heavenly things. If we would do that, how much greater would the world be in today? Where would we be? How would we be? All the people you meet, you think you could cheer them up a little bit if you're in the gutter all the time, in the cesspool thinking negative thoughts? You can't be. You got to be positive. Somebody's got to step up to the plate and be joyous, and be happy, and be full of love. And who is that person? It is a person that's got the spiritual mind. It's a person who's saturated his mind in Christ. And then the last mind is this, a sanctified mind. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 23, the Bible says this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And I asked you, isn't it about time that we had peace? Peace of mind? Wouldn't it be great to go through a day and an entire week? Make this your goal this next week. To have a full week, whether you're lonely or not, have a full week of a peaceful mind, positive thinking mind, spiritual thinking mind, a mind of Christ sharing the love and kindness and goodness of the world. Some of you are here today. We have various ages. When you're in high school or when you're in elementary school, you got all kinds of friends around you, all kinds of people. And as you grow up and you graduate from high school, you detach yourself from all those friends and those acquaintances and all those memories that you had, and you become lonely. You make new friends, but not as many. And then you go through college and you graduate from college and you even separate yourself even more. Maybe you had a half dozen friends in college and now you have only two. And maybe that special one is in your wedding. And after the wedding, you go your separate ways and now you have no friends. And you grow up in your life and all you have, you involve yourself with your family and your children. And you think, boy, my life is so chaotic and crazy. I just want to go away. I want to go to the mountains. I want to go to a camping. I want to go to the river. I want to get away from my kids. They're driving me crazy. And that's all you have. That's your life. And if you let your mind take over your life, it will drive you crazy. And then as the children get grown and old and out of the house, you're down to two again, you and your spouse. And if you hadn't built a strong relationship between each other and the foundation of the Bible and faith, you will grow apart. Because the mind takes over and it says, she doesn't love you anymore and he doesn't love you anymore. Even kids, when they move out, they're like, my parents don't love me anymore. They never call me. They never talk to me. I don't get any McDonald's gift cards anymore. And you think you're separated and you're lonely. And if you let those thoughts take over, you'll become most miserable. And when storms happen and bad things happen, those negative thoughts happen, and you're out of control because your mind is lost, depraved. It's not saturated in Christ. It's not spiritual. You're not thinking on spiritual things. You're thinking about the negative things. A couple of more quotes. Peace doesn't mean that you will not have problems. Peace means that your problems will not have you. A calm assurance. Everything is okay and going to be okay. Then this one. Jesus said, peace I leave with you and my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He goes on to say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can count on the fact that in those lonely times, God is there. And you can make the choice to reach out to all that negativity in the world and those friends that don't like you and enemies and divided friendships and all kinds of divided things. Or you can reach out to God. So I got three final statements to make to you. First of all is this. Quit lying to yourself. Quit lying to yourself that you're no good and you're of no value and no use. Jesus died for you. And no matter how long you live or how bad you are physically, how old you get, how senile you become, God still loves you. You are of value to Him. The second thing is quit lying to others that you're okay and you don't need anything. This is a hard one. We have a hard time telling ourselves that we're good enough and we can do and accomplish things. But then we want to put on a show We want to tell people that I'm perfectly okay. And the fact is, there's not a single one of us that are okay. There was a great preacher in my life who always said, behind every smiling face, there is a hurting heart. You can try to put on a show for a while, but deep down, if you don't know Christ, there's a hole in your heart. And you need something. But all of us need each other. So we should be kind to each other. Because you never know what a person is going through during the day. And then the last thing I say to you is this. Quit running from God. Be very, very thankful of the transformation that He's offered to you. Because He's the only one that can change your mind. You can try to change it. You can get on drugs and alcohol and exercise and walk and run and go to the mountains and stare at the world and do yoga and everything else in the world. It's not going to change your mind. You cannot change your mind necessarily. You can make different choices. But the defiled mind, the natural mind, the carnal mind, only God can change that. And you have to give your life over to Him. Be renewed of your mind. Be transformed in Christ so that you can be different. Otherwise, you're going to always be the same. You're going to be the old rag, and you know the bad things are going to happen, and you're going to be all worried about it. Control your mind by having it fixed on things that are not of this world. Amen. I want us to all stand. I'm going to pray, and then I want you to keep your heads bowed, and I want you to just listen to the song. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for today and the blessings You've given to us. And God, I pray that You would go with us today. God, I pray that You would help us when we get out of line, when our mind gets out of control. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would bring it back in check. God, help us to be thankful. Thankful to You. Thankful for what You offered us. Thankful that You can transform us. And You have, if we've trusted You as our Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And I just stop and ask you this. Do you want a peace of mind? Have you been struggling in your mind? It's been crazy. Then I asked you to give your life over to Him. Because He's waiting. He's waiting for you to just say yes, Lord.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to
challenge you this next week to think on good thoughts. Get out of the negativity. Be thankful that God has spared your life. I've got a short video I want to show you. This has to do with Veterans Day. And just a reminder, this particular verse, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Many months ago, I told you the story about the Neelands. And the Neelands were on their way to a concert in Alaska, and their plane crashed and killing most of the members of that group. Before that crash, they produced this particular song, and I think it's apt for us to play it today. And so it's a little upbeat song, and tells the story of the condition of America today and what we should be like. Here we go. After this, I'm going to ask Stephen if you will. Dismiss us in a word of prayer.
There's a hole in the heart of America that only God. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for everything that you've given us, and thank you, Lord, for this message that we've heard today, Lord, and about our minds, and Lord, that yes, we have saturated our minds and other things, Lord, and it's so easy to attach our minds to our phones or TV or to other things that we hold so dear to us. Rather than holding you with all our hearts and minds. And Lord, we just ask that as our pastor challenged us to think about you and to saturate our mind in you this week, Lord, that we'll do that as a daily process, and Lord, that we'll make a conscious decision to gravitate to your word or gravitate to your promises or to prayer, and Lord, cleanse our minds. And as you shepherd us this week, may we deal with the huge beam that's in our own eye so that in time we'll be able to help others and encourage others and love others as you have loved us and encouraged us. Thank you, Lord, for our church. And again, thank you, Lord, for just your small blessings that come through our life. It's so good to see Brother Marty. Lord, in our service today, and Lord, we just ask that you continue to help him. And Lord, other people in our church, it's so good to see them. And Lord, we pray for those who are hurting right now.